It's not so much that we are better, because obviously we are beautiful, intelligent women that you can listen to on this wonderful podcast. We got jokes. We're hilarious.
Oh, wake up, rethink the status quo. When you get your money right, then you're the one who runs your life. Come build a wealthy spirit with Sammy and Michelle.
Let me tell you something that grinds my gears, Sammy.
Tell me.
In this world of clickbait headlines and inflammatory pieces to grab attention, I feel like important lessons around personal finance and empowering the individual to set themselves up for success get lost because of people writing things like, oh, millennials want to retire, Gen Z wants to quit their job, boomers have no money. There's so much doomsday stuff out there.
It's true, Michelle. And a lot of those things that I read make no sense. Or they're hyperbolic. And they don't really teach people how to actually help themselves. So I find them completely useless.
Exactly, Sammy. And today we are going to do a little bit of a dive into a piece like that and how to start to actually think about what models you should be applying or taking away so that you can, one, filter through the information that's out there, find what works best for you. And also, to be honest, I also just take a little bit more of an optimistic seat in all of this. And want to share some of that energy. Like, I think anybody who wants to retire, we can figure out a plan.
Let's get into it.
But first, I want to talk about our partner for this episode, AirHelp. And you know what Sam and I needed last week? Help related to our air travel. Oh my gosh, we got so delayed. Whole day spent in Dallas. The weather just really, really knocked the socks off of it at Dallas Airport. We were stuck. Everybody was stuck. And here's the thing. When it comes to things like weather delays, when it comes to things like trying to get compensation from the airport, it's a bit of a hassle because there's a little bit of a gray area on what is exactly your rights as a passenger. This is where someone like AirHelp comes in. Instead of you going, trying to fight with the different airlines that you took, trying to figure out if you can get any compensation, you give AirHelp your information, your boarding pass information, you let them know what happened, and they will go see if they can negotiate some sort of compensation for you. You only pay if they're actually able to get you something. And to me, that's so much better than having to sit on the phone. It's not worth the time. So if you find yourself in a situation or you've recently had any sort of air travel issues, use AirHelp and they can help you out.
Back to today's topic. These crazy articles that are out there about finance. They're hyperbolic, they give you no information about how to think about your finances, and they're usually written so that they attract attention and we click on them. The crazy thing is they can be dangerous, like they could influence people's behavior. And that's why Michelle and I wanted to talk about this today. Our listener Michael sent over a piece titled, Millennials Want to Retire by 60, Good Luck with That. First of all, it sounds like he put that into ChatGPT because that's spicy.
I don't think ChatGPT is that spicy.
Oh, you don't think so?
ChatGPT is nice. ChatGPT is always like, wow, Michelle, great question. I think this is pure bitterness. USA Today.
It is bitter. And it's also pretty crazy. Michelle and I wanted to go through this piece, reflect on some of the things that they say in here, and then actually talk about how to calculate or think about some of these numbers based on things we have often talked about in this podcast.
I agree with you, Sammy. Sounds like people are out there trying to trigger you with these type of pieces.
Success.
I understand the headline. I get it. You need people to click. Not a lot of people out here going on a news website and reading pieces. But I was like, oh, maybe it'll be a little bit balanced. And some of the people who they interviewed were balanced. But this whole thought that millennials, we've just been dealt this terrible hand is insane to me. I don't think it's true for us. I don't think it's true for Gen Z. I don't think it's true for boomers and Gen X. Not to forget them. I really think that it's really about education and actually understanding a little bit about personal finance. That is the big gap. Not telling people that they're a victim because of when they were born.
He does make everybody feel like a victim, but then also does not give any ways to escape the situation. And also kind of makes everybody sound entitled, so it's just like overall super unhelpful. Unlike us on this podcast. And we're going to go through some of these points and actually think about how to think about calculating these numbers.
That's something I want to highlight that you said there, Sammy. It's not so much that we are better, because obviously we are beautiful, intelligent women that you can listen to on this wonderful podcast. We got jokes. We're hilarious.
We're entertaining. And which reminds me, this is not financial advice.
This is not financial advice.
No, but seriously, the point is that I think when you can go into longer form media, which honestly, I wish something that was written like this would highlight a little bit more of those imbalances. But I think when you listen to something longer form, you find people that you understand and can reference different pieces that you can follow up on. It's a lot more helpful. So it's not as specific. And if you're interested in learning about personal finance, you should always dig into multiple sources. I think something like this is frustrating because it's like you put it in USA Today, you just send out the article, you say, hey, guess what? You're screwed. And then you move on with your life.
So let's get to this piece.
Millennials want to retire by 60. Good luck with that. And just so you know, this title is misleading because the survey was Gen Z and millennials.
Already very confusing. So in this piece, he talks about how the average millennial has $65,000 saved, which I actually thought was quite good. I'm like, if that is true, that's actually more than what I was thinking the average millennial would have.
Well, one oft quoted statistic is that people don't have $400 to cover an emergency. So if millennials have $65,000 saved, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, assuming that's true, that seems actually good.
And I don't necessarily doubt it, but...
And they said that the average person will need about $1.6 million to retire. And he specifically says that that leaves a gap of $1.5 million. So much to say right there. But I'm going to start off with compound interest. So this article doesn't specify how the money is invested, and it almost leads you to believe that it's all invested in cash just because of the way he says there's a gap of more than 1.5 million. Well, if you're going to retire with 1.6 million, it's not because you saved 1.6 million in cash. It's because you invested it.
I mean, I want to clarify a couple of numbers here for you because he says that they, the millennials, are saying they need 1.6 million. So that for reference, he's referring to a survey done by YouGov.com, which surveyed 1,187 people who are Gen Z and millennials, people older than 16, which they don't really specify who's a millennial and who's Gen Z. So really, even if you took about half of these people, and of the millennials, again, we don't know what percentage is millennials, 30% of the millennials said they need 1.6 million. So these are the days. This is like... basically, 300 people were listening to.
So Michelle brings up a great point here right off the bat, which is small population size.
In theory, if it was 50% of the people were millennial, 180 people that were listening to.
Now, the next thing I thought about was if the average millennial truly has $65,000 saved, then what we should think about is how is that going to compound? And where will that be at age 60 if that's the reported age that they want to retire? So millennials are between age 28 and 43. If you're a 43-year-old millennial and you have $65,000, assuming an 8% interest rate, assuming you're investing in regular index funds in the stock market, they will have about $240,000 at age 60 if they do not contribute anything else to that amount. Yes, correct. That's nowhere near 1.6 million, I agree, but it's not like they only have $65,000, even if they didn't contribute another dime. Let's say they contributed $500 a month in addition to that $65,000 that they already have. Then at age 60, they would have around $443,000. That's a little bit closer. That's something we can work with.
And of the millennials they did survey, 23% said between $500,000 and $1 million. So even just looking at those numbers, $400K, you're a lot closer to $500K. So with being better about your spending, with increasing your income, there are actually ways to get you to this number. Like, you're not in a bad place at all.
I 100% agree, Michelle. And if you're a 28-year-old millennial and you had $65,000 saved at age 60, that would be around $760,000. And that's assuming you are not investing another dime into your retirement accounts. Let's say you were investing $500 a month. In that case, by age 60, you would have $1.5 million. almost at that goal that they're talking about.
Sam, I love what you're highlighting here. The main point is that the author of this piece is basically just saying, oh, you only have $65,000. Good luck getting to $1.5 million. And that's kind of it. No advice. And, you know, they sort of harp on these things like, oh, millennials are struggling because we went through the recession in 08. We went through COVID. And it's like, I hear you. First off, everybody, a lot of people who are alive today have gone through many of these things or have been affected by it or have been affected, their parents have been affected by it. And two, do you know what happened after those things? A boom. Like, my regret is always that I didn't start investing earlier. Like, yes, it was difficult for me to get my first job out of college. And then the stock market went up. The economy did well. The economy is doing well literally today. To put out an article like this is like, okay, you're not helping anybody. You should say, hey, guess what? The market's back, baby. Start investing your money.
And especially to not mention compound interest, it really leaves people in a really hopeless spot with no idea of how to improve their situation.
And that's the thing I think we're really highlighting here too, is that if you just read this, and I think this is the reason why a lot of people feel not good about their money, about their savings, is because people are emphasizing, oh, it was so bad. And like, what are you going to do? The economy is terrible. And that's A, not true. B, it's not giving people the tools to do anything. And C, just being pessimistic like that is essentially just pushing people to more consumerism. Let me buy things so that I can numb my brain. Let me go into more debt. Like, I just hate so many parts of this.
I agree, Michelle. Now, I want to bring up another point that he mentioned in this article, which is that the average person needs about $1.6 million to retire. I didn't think this was unreasonable, but at the same time, there's no real guidance on how a person should know how much they need to retire, period.
Agreed. This is just true for every millennial? Question mark?
This is an average that they say that people in general need. We talk a lot about the 4% rule from the Trinity study here, which is if you take your annual spending, times it by 25, you will get your retirement number, assuming that you withdraw about 4% every year. We'll link to some of our episodes on the 4% rule in the show notes so that you can investigate that more if you'd like to. But I took the 1.6 million and I used the 4% rule just to kind of get back at what kind of annual income that represents, right? Because when we're talking about your retirement number, just to be even more clear, when we're talking about the amount of money you need forever, we're talking about an amount of money that is invested, an amount of money that on average will generate a certain return. And that's the money you can retire with because that return, that amount of money that is produced every year is an amount that you can live off of without depleting that entire fund before you die. That's the entire concept behind this when we hear retirement number. So a number of 1.6 million would mean that you're getting around an annual income, essentially, of $64,000.
When you retire.
When you retire. You're spending around $64,000 each year, which I do think is probably a reasonable average for most people. Mm-hmm. But some people may spend much less. And some people, maybe knowing that they want to retire at age 60, will deliberately spend much less so that they can, one, require less money when they retire, and two, be able to save more aggressively at the same time.
Yes, I appreciate that they can't do the work for everybody, but I think that's the 4% rule is such a helpful framework because first off, the number you need to know is what is your actual retirement number, like you said. And then you can sort of figure out your own gap there. Like, what is the difference between what you need and where you're headed? And then that can empower you to also make choices. Like, do I need to make more money? Do I need to get a different job? Do I need to cut costs in other places?
The truth is, most people have room to save. If I knew that if I save an extra $100 or $200 a month, that's going to make me be able to retire 5-10 years earlier, I would make the necessary changes. And I think a lot of people are in similar situations where they just need the information and they will make whatever changes they need to make to retire when they want to retire.
Exactly. Especially when they're really saying the average millennial. It's what I really find across the board, no matter what your income level is that the personal finance education piece is the thing that's missing. A lot of people, like if you don't know any of this information, that's totally normal. I feel like we didn't when we were growing up. We didn't know when we started making money. We had good incomes and didn't necessarily know what to do with it. again, it's, I think, more helpful to try to point people in a good direction than to say, just because you're labeled as a millennial, you are financially screwed. Because that's actually kind of irrelevant. Your age is not the most relevant factor here.
Which brings me to another factor, which is really important. And that is our savings rate. It is really difficult to say that somebody who has $65,000 today won't have $1.6 million in however many years if you don't know their savings rate. They could be saving 100% of a very high income, and they're for sure going to be able to hit that number. How much we save makes such a big difference on how many years we are away from retirement. So much so that Mr. Money Mustache, he has this awesome piece where he has savings rate percentages listed and the number of working years until retirement listed in the other column. As an example, somebody who saves only 5% of their income, does not matter what that income is, because this is all relative to how much they save and spend, they'll need to work for 66 years. Versus somebody who saves 50% of their income will need to work for 17 more years. If you save 75% of your income, then you just have to work for 7 more years. There are some people out there who are listening to this and thinking, wait, I don't spend a lot of money and I make a decent amount of money. I actually can save 75% of my income if I'm really aggressive about it. And that means that I will only have to work for 7 more years.
I mean, yes, I mean, that's what happens to a lot of people who discover the FIRE movement. When I think about us, we were at a point where we had no concept of what we should be saving outside of our emergency fund. And being able to have a guidance like, okay, if I save 50% of my income, that means that I can retire faster. It's not really about where we are in reaching that end goal. It's actually about the mindset shift. Before, we were thinking, oh, okay, maybe we'll go to Vegas, we'll buy new clothes, we'll do all of these things that we don't really value just because we felt like we had money and we were in San Francisco, an expensive city to live in. But once we actually thought, okay, if I know what I'm aiming towards and I know how much money I need to save, I can start to make decisions that point me in that direction. And we're not at retirement yet, but we did get to a point where we were both at a moment, me when I lost my job during COVID, you when you felt burnt out with your work, where we decided to actually take a break. So we did a mini retirement early, if you will. And you don't need $1.6 million to do that. And I think knowing these numbers, like they can be scary, but it just helps. It gives you information on how you can make adjustments to your life.
In the chart, I have to say one thing that I love that makes me laugh a little bit is if you save 100% of your income, then you are able to retire in 0 years.
How does that work?
I think they're trying to say, like, let's say you save all your income. Let's say you make 50K. You save all that 50K.
Is it because it implies you have no expenses?
Yes, exactly.
I guess you would not need any money in that case.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's kind of, it's a funny one. It's like, it's because you're dividing by zero, whatever. I'm not exactly sure, but that one is funny.
I mean, it is true. When you're a kid, you rely on other people and you're not making an income, but you also don't need to make an income.
Exactly, exactly. When you have some numbers and equations to use to kind of get a gist of where you're at, it can really change your frame. Like, you can see the changes that you can make that are going to make a difference, that are going to make you be able to retire at age 60 if you want to, or make you be able to retire way earlier. Or you can take a break and know how that's going to affect your future retirement. And you can extend that break like me and know that that won't really affect your future retirement, so you're totally fine. Take a little extra time off if you want.
I love that perspective, Sammy. Takeaways from this episode. A big overarching takeaway is it's really good to educate yourself on personal finance basics by listening to this podcast, by listening to any podcast or book or person that resonates with you. It's one-off pieces like this one we're talking about today that they're just meant to have you click in. Maybe you'll go and use one of their resources, but they're not really trying to help you. I understand the purpose of it. It's just a piece. But I do think that this stuff actually really wears on people. There's a reason that a lot of people feel financial anxiety right now. And I think part of the reason is because they're constantly being told that they can't retire or they won't be able to make these things happen.
Imagine the irony of that. Feeling financial anxiety during one of the most financially abundant times.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not to say that people don't have financial worries. I understand why in those moments, the response is like, well, I can't do anything. This piece I read in USA Today said, good luck. I may as well just spend my money. I don't really know or have the tools to actually make a difference.
You know, one thing that made me feel really bad about this piece was seeing the $65,000 and thinking that's actually a lot of money. And then imagining people who don't have that saved or have, you know, debt and just them reading this and thinking there's no hope for them to retire ever, let alone at age 60, when it's completely possible. It's just that this piece does not go into details on how to do those kind of things. So the big takeaway is,
no matter where you are in your journey,
seek this information out on your own and do the math for yourself. How much do you spend each year? How much do you need to retire? What's your savings rate? These are the things that actually tell you about where you're at and what changes to make, not these quick pieces that are made for entertainment.
It's true, Sammy. And I think that maybe, let's say we were at the start of our podcast, I wouldn't feel so passionate about this, but we have actually seen and spoken to so many people from different walks of life who have just felt that click when they're learning about different ways of personal finance, and they are able to go and actually make changes in their life. We have seen people who are making minimum wage, making a $90,000 salary, thinking about becoming entrepreneurs, taking sabbaticals, going from six figures of student debt to wiping it out.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, their first step of that journey is extremely anxiety provoking. You know that, Sammy. You are in that spot specifically, right?
Yes. Like, you don't want to look at any of the numbers because you don't want to know. I totally feel that perspective. But the truth is, once you know, it's actually not that hard.
It's not that hard. It's simple, not easy.
Exactly. Simple, not easy.
And maybe we can send some tips to USA Today in case they need them.
Community time.
Before we say goodbye, it's our community time. Wanted to do a quick shout out to our community member, Masha. She sent us this really great email letting us know that the Some Things Never Change episode we did based off of Morgan Housel's book, Same as Ever, really resonated. And it's funny, Sammy, I love that she highlighted examining where we're the same and where we need to make changes, because I feel like that was such our big takeaway from the Same as Ever book. And he says it at the beginning, this whole, if you live 1,000 lifetimes, Naval Ravikant specifically says, I want to be rich in 999 of them. And I love that we sort of took that framework and we really see it as, with anything you're doing in your life, what can you do so that if you live this life 999 more times, you could place a bet on yourself and have a better outcome. If this episode resonated with you, or you saw something clickbaity and you want to send it to us, let us know. We enjoy getting fired up, fired, about these things. You know, send us something optimistic. One thing I love about our Build a Wealthy Spirit listeners is that y'all are so smart. The things that you send us, the tips you give us are so helpful. So if there's something that you're doing for your retirement, if you're a millennial or Gen Z or Gen X or a boomer, send us your tips because your tips are always really helpful for us.
And most importantly, be sure to join us next time as we put down the rule book and we rethink the status quo.